Now, we want to give a very simple devotional study this evening, and I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, where we'll take the very first verse as the basis for our message. The Apostle Paul writes, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now let's clear the ground by seeing how that those to whom he's writing, "Be ye therefore," are mentioned in chapter 1, verse 1, as being the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. He was writing this epistle to these Ephesian believers, and possibly to other believers too, as it's quite possible that this letter was more of a circular letter to go to a number of the groups of believers around the district. "Be ye therefore," you who are the believers, you who are saints and faithful. Mark the two words. It's as well to see how that there is the possibility of being saints without being really faithful. I'm afraid that very often a number of us may be found in the first category. We are saints, having been so wondrously dealt with by God in and through his Son, having been sanctified in Christ Jesus. We are saints, but I'm afraid we're not always faithful saints. And this particular message, which comes here as we repeat the words of chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God," is directed to those who are both saints and faithful saints. And I trust that as we go through this little message this evening, we may see something of the implications of the very name that the apostle uses in writing to these believers at Ephesus. Also, in clearing the ground, shall we see how that he says, "Be ye therefore." Now, as you know, this word "therefore" means for this reason, for this cause, and it throws you back to something which has gone before. And the immediate context, if you look at chapter 4, the very last verse, the immediate context is this: "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For this cause be ye followers of God." Because God has revealed himself in such a wondrous way, in and through his Son, "even as he for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, therefore be followers of God." That's the immediate context. But at the same time, the immediate context throws us back through this very use of the word "therefore," as you see it is in chapter 4, verse 1, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," and through, back a little further, chapter 3, verse 1, "for this cause," really the same word, "therefore, I, Paul, for this cause, I, the prisoner." And it throws you back to, in particular, chapter 2. And whilst we say it throws you back to chapter 2, you can't leave out chapter 1. And so, when the apostle gives this word of exhortation in chapter 5, verse 1, "Be ye therefore," he throws you back to all that he's written from chapter 1 onwards. And it's as well for us just to see one or two of the things that are contained in the earlier parts of the epistle as the background of this particular exhortation that these believers, and we along with them, should be followers of God as dear children. As the most of you know, in chapter 2, at verse 5, for instance, we read that these believers, and we along with them, were dead in sins, but have been quickened together with Christ. Not only are we quickened, but he goes on to say, we are raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And a little lower down that same chapter 2, verse 13, he says, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. These to whom then he's giving the exhortation to be followers of God are such as have been dealt with by the great love of God, as he mentions in chapter 2, verse 4, his great love wherewith he loved us. He has dealt with us in great love, which in a very wondrous way has been made known through the sacrifice, through the blood of Christ. And this in its turn throws us back, as we said earlier, to chapter 1, where we read in verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in harmony with the riches of his grace. Now this exhortation then comes to such believers who really do know redemption in the first place, and as a result of the knowledge of redemption have also some knowledge of the wondrous outcomes of redemption, in that such as believe are quickened together with Christ, raised with him, and seated together with him in the heavenly places. Now, if we, along with some of these Ephesian believers to whom the apostle made these things known, if we too know something about these things, then we can put ourselves into the position of receiving this exhortation. Be ye followers of God, as dear children. It's a tremendous statement when we come to think of it, just as we read it in our authorized version, be ye followers of God, as dear children. We want to look at this a little more closely and to see just what it might mean. The word that the apostle uses, be ye followers of God, is a word which means mimics, imitators. As you know, it is often the favorite occupation of children to be imitators of others. In fact, young children learn most by mimicking their elders. That's why it's so important for parents to realize that all that they do and all that they say is being seen, is being listened to, is being taken heed of. And that the children will so readily imitate and mimic. And if they go about without that due sense of parental responsibility and curse and swear and act in untoward ways before their children, very soon the children will be cursing and swearing as well. Children are great imitators. And we, as children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be imitators of God. Imitators. And the expression, be ye imitators, has in its composition the teaching that we should become constant, continual imitators. Not that we should just imitate in one respect for a day or two, but that we should set our mark in the imitating of God every day, every hour of the day. That we should be constant in the practice of following God as dear children. Now, to take an Old Testament illustration of what this might mean, we turn back to the experience of Joshua and Caleb. And we read concerning them, if you'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Verse 36. Where, concerning Caleb, it is said, certain things would be given, the end of the verse 36, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He hath wholly followed the Lord. And if you'll take with that Joshua chapter 14, you'll see that of Joshua also it is said that he too wholly followed the Lord. Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, this is Joshua speaking, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, that is, to spy out the land, my brethren that went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I, he says, wholly followed the Lord my God. This is repeated in verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And again in verse 14 of that same chapter, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So here were two men, and mark you, it was two out of around 600,000 men, only two. Which I'm sure is the indication of how really difficult it is to follow the Lord as fully as we are expected so to do. Only two out of about 600,000 men really followed the Lord. And of them, or for them, is this testimony given. Caleb and Joshua, they wholly followed. As we know, they were two out of the 12 men whom Moses sent specially to spy out the land. And even if we take the comparison between the two and the 12, well, two out of 12 is still but a very small percentage of such as, with faithfulness of heart, are really willing to follow the Lord. Let's see how that, in respect of this man Joshua, that his following of the Lord has the background of real faithfulness. Joshua was a man of faith. We read together earlier in our meeting Numbers chapter 13 from verse 26 and into chapter 14 down to verse 10. We won't read the portion through again. But you'll notice, if you read this through in the quietness, that it was Caleb and Joshua who really believed that God was able to defeat the giants whom they saw and the condition of the land that they had spied out, which was undoubtedly to them a very difficult kind of a land. It was that Caleb and Joshua who believed that God would indeed give them that land. We'll look just at one or two verses in chapter 14. Joshua, the son of Nun, we read in verse 6, chapter 14, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for big meals. You see, Caleb and Joshua weren't afraid of the gigantic proportions of the enemies that dwelled in the land. They said, why, the bigger the enemy, the bigger will be our victory. There'll be but bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Fear them not. So here, Joshua and Caleb along with him are revealed to be real men of faith. And if we are to obey the injunction to be followers of God as dear children, then at the background of all the other activities that flow out from our belief in the Word of God, there must be this real strong faith. And we see too, if we turn back to Deuteronomy, that we looked at a little before, Deuteronomy chapter 1, that because of the faithfulness of Caleb and Joshua, they were given a special promise. We read earlier in this chapter, did we or did we not? No, perhaps we haven't turned to this before, but in this chapter we read, at verse 34. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 34. The Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. This is Joshua speaking. And Joshua says, I'm sorry, this is Moses speaking. And he reminds those to whom he was speaking that the Lord had kept him out of the land. Also the Lord was angry with me, saying, thou shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, along with Caleb, of whom we read in verse 36, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. So these two men, Joshua and Caleb, because of their faithfulness, were given the special promise, a particular inheritance in the land of promise. And as we mentioned before, how that they were only 2 out of the 12 who brought back the good report, so they too were really separated from all the rest of the men of Israel, in that before they went into the land, they were promised a sure inheritance in that place because of their faithfulness. And we find, if we turn back again to Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14, and we'll read at verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord hath said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So that which was promised was eventually received. The inheritance that Moses said should be his was entered into. And this man, after Caleb in particular now we're thinking of, after the 45 years, because he fully followed, wholly followed the Lord, received, shall we say, the reward of the inheritance. And it's good to note, turning back now for the moment to Ephesians, it's good to note that in respect of the blessings that come to such as the apostle wrote to, the saints and faithful, there is also an inheritance. If you'll look back in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read at verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted, who before trusted, who were faithful enough to believe what God said, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And so the apostle, to get back again to chapter 5, verse 1, exhorts these Ephesian believers to be followers of God as dear children, and as we have looked back to the illustration of Joshua and Caleb, indeed, to such as who really are followers of God, will be made absolutely clear and absolutely right the fact that they shall enter also into an inheritance which God himself has prepared for them. Now we want to ask, how can we follow the Lord? How can we follow the Lord fully? How can we follow God as dear children? Have we got any helps? Yes, we have helps in the Word. The Apostle Paul, who wrote as the special apostle to the Gentiles, who wrote these words to the Ephesians and who wrote those other epistles to Gentile groups of Gentile believers, he says of himself, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says of himself there at verse 16 that he obtained mercy from God, that in me first, he says, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Apostle Paul claims, not only in this particular verse, but in other verses, in other parts too, he claims to be a pattern believer. One set forth as a type that others might follow. One set forth as the, shall we say, the model which has got to be copied. And so, you'll find on a number of occasions, and I want you just to look quickly through these, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Where he writes, Wherefore I beseech you, because God has set me forth as the pattern, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Thessalonians, 1st Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6, where he says that these Thessalonian believers, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have asked for an ensample. And here he uses the same word, setting himself up as the model, the type, that others should copy, that others should follow. So when he says, coming back again to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, we can be sure of this, that if we follow the Apostle Paul, we shall be followers of God. For he was set forth as the picture, as the type, as the model. He was the one whom God sent set forth as the example, that others should follow after him. Now there are some who would take exception to this. In fact, I've heard it said of myself just quite recently that we're preaching too much of Paul and too little of Christ. Too much of Paul. Of course, such as say that kind of thing entirely overlook the truth of the scripture that the Apostle Paul was sent forth as the apostle for we who are Gentiles. They forget that. And whilst we do, and we rejoice in the fact that we do seek to follow out the doctrine, the teaching, the example of the Apostle Paul, in doing so, and make no mistake about this, we are also following Christ. For the Apostle Paul modelled himself upon his master. We haven't time this evening, but in a remarkable number of features, the Apostle Paul, in his experience, repeated the experience of the Lord. In a very wonderful way. It will make a good study one evening to see how many features there are of the experience of the Lord were actually repeated in the experience of Paul. So that when he says, be a follower of me, as I am also of Christ, he was speaking the truth. And if we follow in the steps of the Apostle Paul, if we follow the teaching given to us Gentiles through him whom God set forth as our special apostle, then we shall certainly also be following in the steps of the Master. Make no mistake about that. And if there be those that might charge you, as I was just charged, as I say, about a fortnight ago, with making too much of Paul, remind them, if you have opportunity, that the Apostle Paul, out of all the apostles of the New Testament, was the one sent forth with the special message for those of us who are Gentile believers. And if we can't follow what he has said, then we've nobody else to follow. For the rest of the apostles were sent for other believers and not for us. If we don't follow him, we've nowhere to go. We've nobody to follow. Be ye followers of me, says the apostle. I've been set forth specially as the example, as the type, as the pattern that you might copy. And I in my turn, he assures us, I in my turn am following Christ. So if we follow on in the steps and in the teaching of the apostle, we'll never be far from our Lord. Study, if you will, quite carefully the teaching of the Apostle Paul as compared with the teaching of Peter and of John. And you'll find that there's not one bit of difference between them in this respect, that they each keep close to their master along the line that God was directing them. And as Paul was given to be our apostle, then we follow him in the line that he directs us, which is a line close to the Lord. Now we've got to follow, and we must get on here, we've got to be followers of God as dear children. As dear children. The word that is used just means as children who are loved. What a sad thing it is that there are children who are not loved, whose parents don't care for them. It's been sad to read over this last year of one in particular who has had two children whom she hasn't wanted. Got rid of one, and I think she's just in process of getting rid of the second. She doesn't want her children. What a sad thing it is that there are such children who are unloved by their parents. But thank God, he's one who really does love us. The great love wherewith he has loved us has encompassed us in wonderful grace, in beautiful blessing, and we are the beloved children of God. And that reminds us, if we turn back to chapter 1 and look at verse 6, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, we are beloved in a very particular sense, wherein God hath made us accepted in the beloved. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and giving him this particular title as the beloved one, the beloved of God, the one whom God gave testimony to at the time of his baptism. This is my beloved son. Hear him. And in that beloved one, we are accepted. The word that is used there doesn't convey all the meaning. And I've often thought that the better word for us to think about when we read this verse 6 is not accepted. That's only just a little bit of the story. But we are embraced. Acceptance and everything else included. We are embraced in the beloved. Now, if as believers we have been lifted up into, embraced in Christ, which includes, as we saw earlier, the fact of redemption and forgiveness, with its background of our having been quickened together with Christ, raised up together, and seated together with him in the heavenlies, all this is included. If we are thus in the beloved Son of God, then surely it makes it easier for us to be followers of God as beloved children. For we are beloved in the beloved Son of God. We have been lifted up into the one who has all the affection of the heart of God poured out upon him. And we are in him. We are the loved one of God. And we have to be followers of God as beloved children. But let's think of this. As the beloved Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ said when he came forth, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Also, he said this, that he pleased not himself. Now there are some children, beloved of their parents, who seem to take delight in disobeying the desires and the wishes of their parents. And the fact that they're beloved of their parents seems to give them some background for saying, well, mother will forgive me. I know I oughtn't to do this, but I'm going to have my own way. Or it'll be all right because mother and dad, well, they love me. What a mistake. What a mistake. And if we are really the beloved children of God, in that we are engraced in the beloved, then don't let us make the mistake of presuming upon that love. Being thus dealt with in the grace and love of God and lifted up to the heights of blessing in the beloved Son, we should all the more give ourselves to be as he was, willing always to be obedient. I delight to do thy will. I wonder, are we followers of God as dear children, beloved in the beloved one, having the example to follow of the Apostle Paul? We haven't gone into detail in respect of that this evening, but we have the example of the Apostle Paul to follow in order that we might keep close to the Lord. And we have the great fact of our engracement in the Son of God, which would keep us even as he was, obedient. Then another point in respect of the Lord Jesus Christ as the beloved Son was this, that in obedience, he was wonderfully humble. None so humble as our Savior. The children sing of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, I wonder, could we sing that of ourselves? Are we really gentle, meek and mild? Followers of God in the beloved Son? Who was gentle, meek, mild. It's so easy to forget to be gentle. So easy to forget to have those qualities of lowliness and long-suffering. And you'll find as you read through the epistles that come from the Apostle Paul's pen that they are the very things that he underlines again and again. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Patience. He says you've got to have those qualities if you're going to be what God wants you to be. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's finish this evening by saying that this involves the fact of self-effacement. To be followers of God means that self is going to be ruled out. To be followers of God means humility. And obedience. I wonder, are we willing to take the exhortation to heart? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children.